Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about humility, about what it looks like, how to live with it, where it comes from, what it isn't, and the fact that God's desire is that we humble ourselves. I think sometimes we get mixed up and we hear that word and, well, we think back to our junior high days and well, the concept of humiliation comes to mind. And that's not what this word is. It sounds similar, but nothing like it. This humility from God's perspective is a voluntary placing ourselves under someone else in value, in honor, in position. And specifically, humbling ourselves before God, but as a result of that, humbling ourselves before one another. And so we're going to talk today, pray a little bit about an unselfish humility. Should go without saying, it's kind of by definition an unselfish thing, but well, we can get pretty good at a false humility that is really designed to puff us up rather than lift up someone else. And so looking today at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, and he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Stories often told of a man that was getting an award for being the most humble person of the year. And they gave him a pin and badge, and as soon as he put it on, they forcibly removed it from him because, well, he no longer was the most humble person of the year. But it goes more beyond simply recognition. I always laugh when you read Bible says that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. And we presume that it was a postscript added after the fact because, well, it's in one of the books that's attributed to, as an authorship to Moses. But in reality, this idea of doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, the reverse of that is humility. And considering others better than ourselves. The selfish ambition we're pretty good at. We know what we want, and we want what we want, and we demand what we want. And life centers around us. And at its very core, we recognize that in others, and it kind of, well, rubs us the wrong way. It's a much more difficult thing at times to recognize it within ourselves. Ambition is a good thing. Motivation is a good thing. It's that selfish part. And we're pretty good at disguising who we're doing something for. We want what we want, and so we word it in ways that it's for somebody else's benefit. This is for the kids. You don't have any kids. Well, it's for the neighborhood kids. It's for kids somewhere. It's because it's what I want. You see, we go through life having to battle this idea, this practice of selfish ambition, because it's a part of this flesh that we live in. That desire of the eye. What we see, we want. It's like the man who figured out what Jesus was teaching and knew what God's law required, but wants to justify himself. And he says, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but that can't mean that person over there, because I don't want to. And we get that way a lot with this selfish ambition. We want the biggest church, not so that more people come into the kingdom of God, not so that the community is changed, but so that we can look good. And so we take things that are even good goals, even worthwhile endeavors, and we mess it up by inserting our selfish ambition. And so it's a constant examination. The Bible says that God looks at the heart. He understands and weighs our motives. And so as one that has leadership roles within a church body, within a family, within various aspects, there's constantly a need to ask myself, why am I doing this? Is it really for others? And continually to be on guard against that selfish ambition. The vain conceit, that's an American thing if I've ever seen one. The vain, it's empty. But it's an empty pride. It's an empty vanity. It's an empty view of ourself. And so it goes along with that false humility. It goes along with that selfish ambition. It's thinking that we're better than what we are, but also thinking that we're better than what anyone else is. And we become weary patting ourselves on the back and tooting our own horn and going on and on about us. And those things should not be that hard to recognize. The difficulty comes in a willingness to look. As I said, pretty good at recognizing selfish ambition. We're pretty good at recognizing vain conceit when it's in others. We simply don't look at ourselves all that much. We don't gaze deeply into the mirror of God's Word to see ourselves for who we really are. But the great news is that when we do that, it reflects to us what we need to change. You know, we look into a mirror and our hair, well, not mine, but some people, their hair's messed up and they do something about it. We look into the mirror of God's Word and we see the reflection of us. And we can see that our ambition is out of line, our view of ourself is out of line, and so we make those changes. And the change in these areas is to no longer be filled with that selfish ambition, to no longer be filled with that vain conceit, but to deliberately choose to consider others better than ourselves. That's God's solution. I try to justify myself. I do things and claim it's for the benefit of someone else. Well, I start actually doing things that benefit others because they deserve it. Not because I'm earning points, not because I'm trying to make it look like I'm don't have selfish ambition or vain conceit, but because I really believe that they're more important. They have greater value. Their needs are for me to help with. We think about it from a parent standpoint with our children often. I don't know, it's not always the case, and there are examples in our country and our community that completely mess this up. But for the most part, we think of godly parents, we think of good parents as those who are willing to sacrifice so that their children can have what they need. Growing up on a farm, and my dad and his brother farmed for my grandpa. And so it was always family time. And particularly in planting and harvest times, there would be these huge gatherings with meals brought to the field, and the family would be there. And I always found it interesting as a child that my grandmother's favorite part of the fried chicken was the chicken feet. And I'd look at that and think, well, there's nothing there. Why does she like the chicken feet? Well, as I grew and became more aware of what love really is, I began to realize it wasn't that she liked them, it was that she liked seeing her kids fed. She liked seeing her grandkids have plenty to eat. She considered us better than herself. And I can guarantee you we weren't better than she was. You see, this isn't about whether it's factual. It's about how we consider it. It's about how we act. Bible isn't saying that other people are better than you are. It says, in the way you treat them, consider that they are. Treat them with honor. Treat them with respect. Treat them, well, as Jesus would say in what we call the golden rule, treat them as you would want to be treated. I think sometimes we read that verse and we automatically think, but they're not better than me. In fact, you look at their life and they're completely messed up compared to me. But how do you treat them? You remove the selfish ambition, you remove the vain conceit, and then you treat them as if, well, as if they're Jesus. You treat them as those who deserve what you want. You see, a life of humility says that we willingly place ourselves in position below someone else. That prime example, we read the verse out of Philippians. That's this book that Paul writes, and he says that we should consider the example of Jesus, who humbled himself, who placed himself willingly in position below where he belonged. Took on flesh and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This unselfish humility is one that not only views ourselves accurately according to where we stand with God, but we view ourselves as being servant of all. Jesus said that if we want to be greatest, we must first become servant of all. And then he set out and did that. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself. Your love has called us to this life of humility, this life of service, this life of love. And so, God, today, help us to examine ourselves as we gaze into your word, as we consider the example of Jesus, that we would notice those times in our life where the selfish ambition does take center stage. And it rears itself up and it takes charge and control, and we're not who we ought to be. Those times when the vain conceit looks at ourselves and we puff up with pride and we begin to think that somehow we're it. And God, as clearly as we see those things in the lives of others, may your word, your spirit help us to see them in ourselves so that we can deal with them. And that we can be transformed away from the selfish ambition and vain conceit into a unselfish humility that serves and considers the needs of others to be more important than our own. Because we consider them as a person to be more important than us. And so, God, help us today that the people that we see and the people that we encounter and the needs that they have, we would honestly evaluate if it's something that we're avoiding because we don't think they deserve it, or we're avoiding because you're teaching them a lesson that they need to learn. And Father, it's so easy for us to justify a lack of involvement in serving and helping and living with humility. And so, God, today, help us to empty ourselves of selfishness, of that vain, that empty conceit, that empty pride of who we are. May we recognize that who we are is who you've created us to be. And may we grow into that. Not that we're living it perfectly, not that we define what you want us to be all the time, but the blueprint that you've stamped upon us through your word and through your spirit, may we grow into that. And may our growth be saturated with humility. So any good that we do is from you. Any positive things that others notice is from you. God, today, help us to serve one another in love, to consider how we can best represent Jesus as we choose to lift him up so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.